How satisfied are you with your life? For many people, that answer depends on the job satisfaction. Statistically, 70% of people are dissatisfied with the job. In fact, more than one-third of them, 36%, would quit if they have an alternative. Why the correlation between life and job satisfaction? See if you can relate to this. Some people say work is their life. The work is their identity. And many people will introduce to you, I am Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, and I am a teacher, an accountant, engineer, etc. Now, others say work is their paycheck. In other words, they work for money. Some even say work is their curse. They dread it. They hate the work. You know, they mark the calendars for 40 years until their retirement. But the Bible says work is actually good, especially if it's done for God. For example, Adam and Eve were working even before falling into sin. Now, since work is part of God's plan for your life, a healthy working attitude helps you navigate work disappointments, challenges, and difficulties. So today's sermon, entitled The Flight, is about making work meaningful. And you don't even have to be a pastor for your work to be meaningful. For your occupation, whatever you're occupied with, is your calling. It is your calling if you make your work your mission for God. So this can be applied whether you are employers or employees, students, homemakers, or even retirees. So when I say work, you just apply it to your particular situations and see how whatever you are occupied with during the daytime can be used for God as your mission for God. Let's pray first as we jump into today's sermon. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Majestic, almighty God, we are no heavens nor skies. We are but down-to-earth dwellers. Yet, because of your unfailing love, even our humble offerings you can use like the skies and the heavens to make our lives count for you. So today we plead with you, Lord, to open our hearts, our eyes and our ears to see how our day can be a mission for your sake. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's sermon is part of 4S2T series. 4S2T stands for 4 Steps to Transformation. I've adapted it from Back on Track sermon series coming from a church in New York City called Journey Church. Now, 4S2T aims to help Christians bring God into their daily lives. Practically, it's about being everyday Christians instead of Sunday-only Christians. 4S2T steps through 4 phases of your daily lives, helping you live for God, not just for yourselves. I'm using the aeroplane or flying metaphors to represent the 4 phases. The first one is takeoff. It is about mornings. The emphasis is starting your mornings with God. Today is the flight. is about what you do during the day, and the emphasis is making your day job or whatever you're occupied with your mission for God. And of course, after flying a while, the airplane has to land. So you hope this is a gradual and safe landing. It is about the evening or the nighttime when you wind down after a day of work, preparing you for the next day. And the last one is service or maintenance or recharge. Airplanes need regular servicing and maintenance. And so do Christians, believe it or not. The church on Sundays is about recharging your spiritual life. This series, I base it on the theme scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Let us all read it together slowly, shall we? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive the sin and will heal their land. God is ever ready to bless us if we would just seek Him. Living for God is actually not a monumental task, as if you have to move mountains or cross the seas. You don't even have to join the monastery or fast for 40 days or nights. 4S2T is not about making drastic moves like this rock making a smash. Wow. Rather, it's like this feather taking small, simple, serene steps. It's not going to make a wave like landing. It's like a feather just floating. Now, this series started last Sunday with takeoff. With takeoff, these are the 4 points. Starting your mornings well depends on your time to bed the night before. A for approach God first. In other words, greet God before you greet anyone else, including your spouse. And keep God in mind, especially during your commute to work. And even if you have got this down packed, you still continue to enhance your takeoff routines, because after a while, you may find it mundane, boring, monotonous. So you keep improving your daily routine. And lastly, offer your life to God. That's what takeoff was. Now, after takeoff, of course, the airplane does its work of flying in the sky to get somewhere. Part two has to do with whatever you're working on during the day. Make whatever occupies your day your mission for God. In other words, take God with you to your office, your school or university, even your home and your retirement village, wherever it is. Make whatever you work on meaningful. Now, today's message comes in 4 points again, following the word work, W-O-R-K. So use the papers for your notes for taking your reminders. So we start off with today for W. W is, before I give you the answer, much of your work, satisfaction or dissatisfaction depends on who or what. Depends on, primarily on your boss. Now, changing jobs or changing bosses may work for a while, but the grass is not always greener on the other side. Somehow, no matter where you work, bosses seem to have undergone the same training. That is how to make your work life miserable. So, rather than changing jobs or bosses, how about you work for God instead? Work for God. Today's scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 especially says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for man. That means you work whether the boss is looking at you or not, whether you are supervised or not, because you know when you work for God, He never sleeps, He never slumbers, He never rests. His eyes are always on you. Just for some people, that will wake them up. Others, it may scare them to death. But whatever is the case, you please God first. It's not your boss. You don't even please yourself first. But let me suggest, okay? You don't tell your boss about that. That you are now working for God. Because it is better for him or her to notice how your work improves as you put God first. Obviously, that's a challenge, and work pressures and stresses will continue to be there. But by working for God, you are better able to handle all these pressures and stresses by turning your mind to God. That reinforces your composure, knowing that God is with you rather than you on your own. No one cares for me. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act." And here are some examples of how that committing and trusting to God would turn out. Let me give you some examples. Consider every example as something to every problem as something to be overcome with God. It includes difficulties of your job. It even includes difficult colleagues or bosses. And second, don't work for money, of course, that is very needed, or power or prestige or popularity, but work for God. And you approach the challenges and the difficulties at work with a servant attitude, just like Christ. And we have a great tool that is available for Christians. You bring your work before God. In other words, you can pray. You can pray in all circumstances. And finally, not the least, of course, even in your workplace, you can be encouraging or helping your colleagues. These are just examples. I'm sure you have more of how you can commit your work to God. Now, again, I emphasize none of the above will make your work any easier. But that change in your work attitude will help you learn to like your work better. And don't be surprised indeed if your boss will like you better too in the process. So W is work for God instead of working for money, for popularity, for prestige, or anything else. Next, we come to O. O is operate with God in mind. How many of you go through the entire workday and everything happens just as you planned? That ever happens? Well, things may start well first, especially if you have taken off well by approaching God first, but then something happens to annoy you and distract you from God. Annoying things make you feel like God has lost control. So by operating with God in mind, these things can be used by God to shape you towards Christ-likeness. So don't compartmentalize God out of your work. Just as you keep God in mind during your commute, operate with God in mind during your work day. Psalm 113 says, "From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised." This scripture teaches us that whether the sun rises or sets, God is still praised because He is in charge. Whether it is in the beginning of the day when the sun rises or in the end of the day when the sun sets, or whether
things are just going swell for you, where everything is bright and sunny, or when things are gloomy for you in the setting, like in the setting of the sun. In other words, even unfavorable circumstances can be used by God to build you up, though you may not understand how. This lifts you up from victim mentality. And let me suggest 5 short prayers at your workplace, whether it is before your meetings or even before your meeting with your boss to ask for a raise. First one, God, I thank you. This recognizes that nothing comes to you into your life accidentally. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another prayer could be, Lord, help me. Instead of feeling overwhelmed, like you have to handle things yourself, ask God for help. Psalm 121 says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And third, here I am, send me. Offer yourself to help others. And you will quickly discover you are not the only one with problems. Isaiah 6:8, we are quite familiar. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, send him or her. No, the Bible says, send me, Lord. Of course, when you offer yourself up, sometimes things still don't go your way. So you pray, oh Lord, I ask of you all these things, but please, not my will, but yours. Offer every decision to God. Yes, that's the case. Even if they offer you the CEO post, you should still say, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. And another prayer, oh Lord, you are with me. This is especially pertinent when you feel alone, isolated, or scared. That's why we have Psalm 23, this banner in the church, to remind us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, operate with God in mind, for God wants to be part of your life every day, not just Sunday. Next one, maybe a bit tough, so it comes with an R warning. R is not for restricted audience, but more for Christians. Reputation above reproach. R is for reputation above reproach. In other words, do everything with integrity and excellence. You know, people at work especially tend to put label on others. You may be labeled as the one who brings the donuts to the office. Worse, you may be the one eating all the donuts in the office. So since you're going to be labeled, you might as well be labeled by the quality of your work. Reputation above reproach is letting your work quality commit who you are. Are you the person who's labeled as someone who's always late, or someone who's selfish? To get ahead, you are ready to throw your colleagues under the bus, or someone who hardly works instead of working hard, or someone who lies by fudging time cards or fake calling in sick, or someone who cheats? Is that your label? If it is, it's time to think about your reputation and make that above reproach. That means excellence. That means honesty. Instead, work as someone who's diligent, helpful, cheerful, long-suffering, and honest. You know, it's okay not to be the top staff or the number one employee, but to be known as being helpful, cheerful, honest, etc.
So whatever label you have at work, let your reputation be above reproach. Proverbs 10:9 says, the man or woman of integrity walks securely, but he or she who takes crooked paths will be found out. So let people see you make right decisions. Followers of Jesus represent not just yourself, but your Lord, Jesus' cause and Jesus' name. Some of you may need to re-examine yourself because you may be working at half throttle because your work is so easy. You just turn off half your brain, you can still function very well. And some of you may feel demeaned, belittled, because you are given such an unimportant assignment, or you are working in a lower than low level of work. Actually, you can think of these as God giving you a chance to prove yourself. Because if you prove yourself in little things, you'll find that more will be given you. Sometimes we pray, oh God, give me an important assignment. Oh Lord, just give me that ceiling-breaking job. Meantime, you work half throttle. It's going to be hard to get there. So Romans chapter 12, verse 11 reminds us, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Even our spiritual fervor can be applied in serving in our workplaces or our occupations. So be faithful in small things so that God will entrust bigger things to you. R is for reputation above reproach. And now it comes to the fourth one. K. K is kick up a notch at work. Man, I'm really stretching my mind trying to get all these things in. This notch that I'm talking about is something to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So kicking up a notch means you relate or you engage with the gospel at work. In your office, you may be the only Christian in there, and you may not realize, but you are God's strategy. You are God's plan A, that God has planted you in this room of non-Christians so that you are God's plan A to redeem your colleagues. Kicking up another notch is going beyond the call of duty to support the new recruit around the office, or comfort a colleague who is devastated by divorce, or helping the low-ranking janitor who is harmed by his or her violent partner. Witness to the next person at your desk who has given up that any good can happen in their workplace. Now, of course, I'm not asking you to jam God down people's throat. You just be real. And you do that by sharing that everything in your life is not pure, perfect, smooth sailing. That it is okay, my dear friend, my dear colleague, that we hurt sometimes. It's okay. Things are not going well. But we still have God's help to go through this rough patch. And that's the sense of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, somehow it's stuck. Can you please touch the space bar? Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. If someone asks you, what did you do last Sunday? You may answer church and footy, of course, if you know, or barbecue. It's okay, but don't leave church out. That naturally, of course, puts a target on your back. On the other hand, that may be just what someone needs to hear. Today's cancel culture makes it hard for Christians, for us to talk about faith at work. And we need wisdom, which I believe God will provide with the Holy Spirit. But it starts from us by not hiding our faith. So let your team, let your colleagues see that you pray before the meal. How about that? And not just, you know, just that's it, you know. But to be deliberate. Cross your hands, close your eyes. I must confess, a lot of my colleagues wonder, why am I staring at my food? They didn't know I was closing my eyes to pray. But that opens up a conversation opportunity. Now, I'm not going to say that every time they will be so impressed. They might even label you holy man, derogatory. But it's okay. At least they know. If their brokenness needs the healing, they know you are the one to go to. A lady boss shares this experience with me. During the performance review of a staff, the staff appeared very distressed. The staff disclosed that her mother was seriously ill and she was very disturbed. So the boss paused the review and offered to pray for the staff. The staff was very shocked and very touched. And she said, you know, that has never happened to her before, that her boss will offer to pray for her. Now, the performance review still proceeded afterwards. And it's not that, you know, the staff's mother was healed, but to the staff. That's a different level of care she has ever experienced in her life. How about if we sow the seeds of faith in just random acts of kindness? Beyond that, random acts of Christness that we sow into our colleague's life. You know, it said people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People have problems. And you can kick up a notch at work by being the bridge to show the care to others. And you are doing nothing more than to show them how Jesus has cared for you. This goodness does not come from you. You emphasize, you care only because you have been cared for by Jesus. You know, I never heard of anyone scream at their deathbed, "Let me go to the office and finish off that spreadsheet or that document." But many cry, "Why did I only run after that which I cannot take with me?" Your seed of faith may be just what they need to turn from that eternal regret to eternal joy. The Bible tells us, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? So kick up a notch at work and let you be the bridge that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So as I close, let me summarize. Whatever work you do during the daytime, make it meaningful by inviting God into it. First, work for God. And second, operate with God in mind. And third, keep your reputation above reproach. And finally, kick up a notch by sharing Christ with those at work. There's a story about a pastor who was building a wooden trellis to support the climbing vine in his garden. As he pounded away working hard, he noticed a little boy was watching him. The youngster did not say anything, so the pastor kept on working, thinking that the boy would just leave when he gets bored. But surprisingly, he didn't. So the pastor was curious. He asked, "Well, son, are you trying to learn something about gardening?" "No," the boy replied. "I'm just waiting to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Brothers and sisters in Christ, taking God to work, to uni, to your home, your family, or social circles, does not guarantee that your thumbs or fingers won't be hammered on and people will be watching what you say. But it is okay that you still offer your work for God to do His work in your life and in the life of others. Working for God instead of money will not make work easier. But by seeing your work as your mission to bring God into your everyday conversations at work or elsewhere, you will find work more meaningful. Amen. Let us pray as we prepare to sing the song of response. Almighty and gracious God, you are a God of infinite wisdom. We thank you for occupying us with something, whether it is our job, whether it is our homemaking, even our retirement or our studies, Lord. We thank you for occupying our lives. Father, please help us not to compartmentalize you out of all these things that we do in our daytime. But let us start to experience you more deeply, more sweetly, and more encouragingly by making you a part of our days. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.